Hello, y'all. Who's awake? Who's tired? There it is, there it is. I get that though, I'm tired. I work, 40 hours a week, 15 units on top of that. I understand your struggle. You could be here at nap, but you're here. You could be napping. But part of the reason I work as much as I do, I study as much as I do, is because I want to be successful when I graduate college. Nobody wants to graduate college and then bum out working at Starbucks full time, and then that's your life. You don't have wife, kids, you don't have a love life, you just work at Starbucks and that's your life. Nobody wants that. I don't. But what about right now? I'm focused so much on my future, but what about right now? How many of you guys are also focused on what are you doing after graduation, but you're forgetting about the life you're living now? It's not always about the product of success, getting married, having kids, getting a job at a church. It's not always about the future. A lot of it is about what you're doing right now. God promises a lot to us. He promises success. He promises a lot of blessings, but what about your relationship with God right now? Are you seeking him right now, or are you just seeking the blessings he has in store for you? Do you want to have that love that comes from a father, or do you want that love from somebody else? We all know Jessup's doing The Bachelor, this stupid ring by spring. Nobody wants that. Just kidding. We all want it. You can't lie. You all want the ring by spring. But what about love from a father, the Father in heaven, who promises so much more than a ring or a rose? Victoria P. calling you out. But maybe some of you want to hear God or have a revelation from God, to feel his presence for once, or to grow closer in that intimacy with God. That's what I want. I want to grow closer in my intimacy with God. I want my relationship with him to grow. Everything else comes after I have that relationship with him, after I seek him. That intimacy is crucial for my relationship with God, for us to see that success together, me and God together. It's not my success, it's his that he gives unto me. Tonight, I'll be speaking on how intimacy with God comes first and foremost in our lives. That intimacy with him needs to be shared with him first before we start finding it elsewhere, before we start finding it in a mate, before we start finding it in our mission, before we start finding it in anything else that the world says. For my own story, I once grew up, you know, we all did in high school. We were all awkward. I was like this tall, this skinny. I was sitting at my room every Friday night on my computer. I'd play Minecraft 4 hours every Friday night. Didn't go to parties, obviously wasn't invited, but Minecraft was my life. That's all I did. I'd play with my friends and pretty surface friendships, I'll be honest, because that's all we did. We'd play Minecraft. We wouldn't talk about much other than, oh my gosh, I almost died because of blah, blah, blah. But that was it. Because of that, I didn't really have much to go off of in my life. I would just play Minecraft. That's not much of a life if all you do is one thing every Friday night and you never go out and socialize with people. I had a lack of self-confidence issues because I had self-confidence issues because I didn't know anything other than Minecraft, as funny as that is. With that, though, I mean, if you play Minecraft every Friday night, almost every other night, you're going to think, okay, all there are guys and girls. What the heck is that? Nobody knew what those were back in my friend group because we didn't know they existed. They were aliens, you know? All you guys, you were once young. You know what I'm talking about. But it wasn't until junior year when I started realizing, okay, I can find confidence on my own. I don't need God to find that confidence. So I picked up football, and I picked it up. When people say, do you play football? I say, play is a strong word. But I found my confidence in that. I was wearing a jersey. I'd walk around school. I'd be like, okay, this is a man's man. I can earn some confidence now. I deserve this. We all know those football players in high school, and we're like, you guys are so stupid. That's where you find your confidence? No, no, no. That's surface level. But that's what I found my confidence, my identity in. But with that confidence came attention. That attention from various girls and blah, blah, blah. But there was one girl where she was the first one to give me that attention. I was like, okay, this is new. This seems about right. A girl who likes me. Let's go for it, you know? She gave me attention, and we'll call her Jenna, just to change the name. But Jenna was that small amount of attention that I first felt. I'd never felt anything other than oh my gosh, what is that guy running around wearing cross-country shorts doing? Because that's my life before football. The short shorts, the white thighs. It was nasty. We're done with that. But Jenna gave me that attention. I was like, okay, this seems about right. I deserve this. It's been long enough hiding away in my room playing on my computer. I deserve something that feels good for once, that the world told me was good. She gave me that attention, and in return, I gave her intimacy in the form of emotions. I gave my whole heart to her way too quick, way too soon. And as many of you can guess, she panicked, got scared. I mean, I would get scared if I had an Ethan throwing my heart at me. Let's be honest. Not many people can handle that. We don't want that. But she ended up ghosting me and leaving me alone on the curb, just there, sad, all by myself. I was a wreck for some other guy who's like 5'4", 250 pound, little lineman dude, like this big. And I was like, oh my gosh, she left me for that? I really don't deserve anything. If I can't have her, then I don't deserve love. I'm inadequate of it for whatever reason. I was inadequate of ever feeling the worth of love. And as a result of that inadequacy, I told you guys about it last semester, but I'll go over it again real brief. As a result of that inadequacy, I began searching for it elsewhere. Well, what does a 15-year-old boy on the internet find when he starts searching for intimacy? He finds porn. He gets addicted. Long story short, it ended up being a detrimental addiction in my life. I can now say that I'm free from that because of God. But as a result of that inadequacy, I found it elsewhere. I found it in something that was normalized among all 15-year-old, 16-year-old boys in school, because that's what was normal for them. No matter where I chose to place my intimacy in high school or wherever in my past, if I wasn't sharing my heart and even my brokenness with God first, I found that I was always left broken and more hurt than before. The main thing I needed to do was seek that intimacy with God first before seeking it with others. So I'll be teaching off of Matthew 6:19-33-ish, because I'm going to jump around, because that is what the Lord revealed to me when brainstorming and just meditating on this idea. In Matthew 6:19, it says, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. All of those things that Matthew's talking about are worldly possessions, worldly ideas, things that everybody around you who doesn't have a strong relationship with Christ will point you towards and say, this is where you can fix everything you're lacking. You can fix everything you're missing, every empty hole in your heart with this, with a new car, with a new video game, with a new computer, with a new girl. But it says, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves don't break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Right there, Matthew's talking about treasures that are worth far more than anything else you can get on this earth. Treasures in heaven that only God can give to you, that will forever fulfill and sustain you. It continues, skipping down to 24, no one can serve two masters, since either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And for me, I don't see that as serving money. I see that as serving my own fleshly desire to find a companion in an intimate way, as most guys at that age did. Most guys at that age aren't looking to hang out with friends. They're looking for a girlfriend because that's what everybody sees on Riverdale, on all the TV shows. That is what's portrayed as this is what you need to find love. Love from a significant other of the opposite sex. But that's not what it's talking about here. It continues saying, don't worry about those things. In verse 25, it says, don't worry about your life. Those things that you're seeking, sure, they're great desires to have. It's good to desire for a fulfilling relationship with a significant other that you can have through marriage. But skipping all the way down to verse 33, it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided to you. There are plenty of healthy desires to have in this world. A family, a job, success, not to live on the streets. But if you're seeking those things but forgetting to seek God first, you're treating God like a side chick. Are you really about to treat God like a side hoe on the side where you just come to get with him, get the quick fix, that healing that you need, and then leave him dropped off outside his house cold walking inside to sneak back inside while you drive back home fulfilled? God is a main piece. He wants the relationship. He wants your heart. He wants to hold your heart and pour love into it. He doesn't want to have this half piece, this half-hearted love. God wants to love you for who he created you to be, not for who you want him to be, this piece on the side that you can just mistreat and leave once you're fulfilled with. That's not who God is. And all of the times where I would find that intimacy with the wrong person or thing, those were some of the most destructive times of my life. Are your guys' hearts being treasured by another person? I'm sorry, but that person is going to let you down. They're going to break your heart. They cannot live up to your expectations or your fantasy. That's just who they are. That's who I am. That's who you guys are. We're all imperfect. It's bound to happen that we let one another down. We cannot love each other perfectly on our own. Is your heart treasured by money and success? I'm sorry. But if you're only seeking after money, success, and the financial stability that they all talk about on the radio or whatever money financials place you're looking for it, you're going to be let down, because money is one thing that is not going to do anything for you once you pass away and die in your 6 foot deep by 2 feet wide by 6 feet wide grave. That money is not going to carry over into the afterlife. That money is going to be set there in a trust fund to be grabbed up by your greedy kids because you were too busy searching after financial well-being to pour into their life. That is all that money can do for you if you're not seeking the righteous things that the Bible talks about before you're seeking after financial success. If you're only seeking after your heart by leading out with your heart to buy a new car, what is a Bugatti going to do for you other than find people who think that your success is defined by what you can buy? They're not really there for you. They're there for what you can provide for them on their Instagram so they can post that they were with the Bugatti today, hashtag blessed. That's not what that's about. And if you feel like God won't ever love you because you have this deep, dark sin, this thorn in your side, that you can't ever be worthy of feeling God's love like I once was, I challenge you to get close to God. It will hurt you to sin against God when you're truly intimate with him, because you'll know just how much it pains him to see and feel you hurting yourself, hurting your life every time you sneak off at night to go and do the devil's work and hurt somebody else in the process. It hurts him. True love comes from true intimacy, and love that is true has no intent on hurting one another. True love has no intent on hurting another person. True love has no intent on hurting yourself. If you truly love yourself, you will take care of yourself. True love has no intent on pain. If you've ever been on a missions trip or you've ever been baptized before, you know just how it feels when you're truly intimate with God. You're worshiping probably 10 times more in that 1 week than you've ever done in your whole past life. You're reading the Bible 50 times more than you've ever read in the past year because you're more intimate with God. It feels like it's impossible to sin. When you get back that car ride home, it feels like it's impossible to say something mean to the person in the car ride next to you who's drooling on your arm while they're passed out asleep while you're crossing Tijuana. It feels impossible to hurt God because you've been so close. It is so much harder to sin when you're so close and you're so intimate with God. So if you have a thorn in your flesh, bring that to God. And if you're seeking what God has to give you and you're treating him like a side chick and you're mistreating the whole relationship that he wants to have with you, don't. Treat God how he should be treated. He treats us far better than we should be treated. So why can't we treat him with a little bit of respect and value the relationship that he's promising us as opposed to valuing the gifts he has to give us? If you've ever looked at a mountain where it's real tall, real high, and you're just trying to get around it to Reno behind it, you may think, it's easier. Why can't I just go around the mountain? Why do I have to go over the pass, through the snow, where I could crash my car and it's big and scary because there's people up there who I don't know and they're rednecks with guns who will shoot me if I get lost in the snow and knock on their door? Why can't I go around? Because if you've ever gone hiking, if you've ever been outside and climbed a mountain, the view from up top is so spectacular. because you've put in the work, you're tired, a little bit delirious because of that tiredness. You get to the top and you can just see the sky is so much bigger because you did it the right way. You didn't go around the side where it's much easier. You went to the top. It's the same thing with God. If you're trying to circumvent him to get to his gifts, it's not going to work. God is not someone you can just go to the side and go around to get to the side where it's all beautiful and you get to the town where all your friends are. No, that's not how God works. God works by you seeking after him in the right ways, the righteous ways. We are climbing that mountain. Yes, it's hard. Yes, it's rough. Yes, you may fall down and break a stick on your fall. I don't know. But when you do it the right way, you're on top with him, and it is so much more beautiful because you've experienced that mountaintop high the right way. If you're searching for a high point in your life and you're seeking God to get to that high, you're doing it the right way. If you're seeking that high through drugs or through parties or through somebody else's way to get chemical release in your brain through love, that is the wrong way to experience that high. It's just like working out. There's ads for the Jessup lifting group or whatever, Gain Club, you know? Summer's not too far away. We all want the summer bod. How do you get the summer bod? You don't get it by sitting on your couch and then waking up July 13th realizing, oh, I want it, I got it. No, it starts in the work. That work where you can do it the right way. Where you're working out in the gym when nobody's able to see, you're not working out just to get the Instagram caption, you're working out because you want the product. You truly want to look good in the summer, you have to put in the work. You have to put in the work when nobody's watching so that it's between you, yourself, and God who sees the work. It's the same thing with your relationship with God. If you want the product of the summer bod that God is going to bless you with, you have to put in the work. If you want the spiritual revelation that Francis Chan has, that all those other big speakers have, you have to put in the work. It's not by seeking after having a great sermon. It's by seeking God that all those things are given to you. Seek first the kingdom, Matthew says. Seek first the kingdom, and all these things will be provided to you. Let God give those things to you in due time, because Lord knows we're not ready when we ask to say that we're ready. If I was where I was and I said I was ready to be married, I would probably have a marriage that's in shambles by now. If I said I was ready to go to college 5 years ago, Lord knows I'd be dropped out working at Starbucks 40 hours a week and that'd be my life and I'd hate it right now. When the world and the intimacy you put into worldliness fails you, that is where Jesus is able to fulfill you guys. It's like I said earlier, intimacy with the wrong person can be destructive. Is your heart enslaved to your flesh and what the world says is worthy of your life and your time? I'm sorry, but if you're allowing the devil to have control over your life like I once was when I was addicted to pornography, then the devil will grab hold of that and drain every inch of your life until you realize that all of his lies that he told you were literally just that. They were lies. Where I used to be versus where I am now is only possible because I got rid of that. I craved intimacy with God more than I craved my own fleshly desires. So if your heart is enslaved to your flesh, I pray that you right now or later tonight see the prayer people up here and let us pray for you because we can pray for you and we can help you. You have to be intimate first though. God is not going to come into your heart. God is not intrusive like that. He waits for you to ask him into your heart. God is a man who will wait for consent before he comes into your heart. He's respectful like that. So give him that respect. And it's like it says in Matthew, you can't serve two masters, so you guys need to choose. Are you going to serve a God who will cherish your heart and take care of you? Or are you going to choose the other and serve sin and worldliness that will only leave you empty? I can attest to it. It will leave you empty. It will leave you with deeper, darker thoughts than you could have ever imagined. Because when you let the devil in your life, he fills you with so much darkness, you can't even imagine how dark that his mind, his craftiness, his evil can fill you with. And if you feel like I once did, and that intimacy with God is something that can't be attained because of that one sin, that one baggage that you have of your deepest, darkest sin that you won't even admit to yourself, take that to God. You cannot lose baggage on your own if it's chained to your ankle, if it's drowning you and pulling you down till you can't breathe anymore. Take that to him. Be intimate with him. Let him into your heart so he can help heal you from that brokenness. or if you're a Christian leadership major, or those who are PKs, pastors' kids, and you feel like just because you got accepted to Jessup and you went through your discipleship class, you passed with all A's because Jim Crane loved you, or you got past your first year experience and you made it through your first Bible class and you got a 99% because you're just that good at the Bible and that's how you deserve and that's how you determine your self-righteousness and your faithfulness and that's expected of you to be perfectly holy because that's how you found your righteousness, then you're wrong like I was. Because when I came to Jessup, I assumed that, okay, I'm here at Jessup, a Christian college, all of my problems, all my sins will go away. The Lord can just cut them for me. Yes, he can, but he's not going to unless you're willing to let him. Just because you're here in the perfect place, in the perfect environment to have a life striving for perfection that the Lord can provide, that doesn't mean you have to be perfect. I'm not perfect. I was a Christian leadership major for a year and I was still addicted to pornography. Just because you have everything you need to be seeking righteousness and process in the process of sanctification, that doesn't mean you will be if you're not letting God work through you. Don't let people expect you to be because we're not perfect either. But don't be trying to be something you're not. It's okay to be open with your brokenness. It's okay to confess your sins to the Lord. It's okay to confess your sins with your friends who are truly intimate with you because they care about you and they care about your heart, not just what you can get them, not just the product. It's all about the process over the product. The product of following Christ is eternal life. The product of following Christ is fulfillment. But that's not possible if you're not seeking the process by seeking him. Don't seek to be a perfect Christian. Don't seek things that are out of your control like that. Seek him and let him do the heavy lifting for you. Because Lord knows we don't know what we want. God knows what we need. And if we were seeking what we wanted and we're asking him for that, Lord knows that we've been wrong this whole time because only he knows what we truly need. Like a toddler in the kitchen who wants graham crackers, it's on the top shelf. They may know what they want, even if it is something that's rightfully theirs to have, that is healthy for them, and it's not something detrimental to their health. Only the parent, only the father, only the mother, only those put in power above them, like God, can provide it. So even if you have something that is a righteous and holy desire, you still need to bring that to God, because if you want it and you go out to get it, there's no way that you are going to ever be able to get it the way you want, because only God can provide those things. Before I continue, I want to let the worship band up here and just challenge you guys with three things. It's not three challenges per person. One challenge may line up to you, the other one may not, but these are three just challenges or convictions and encouragements to each and every one of you. Whichever one applies to you, take it and pray about it. Meditate on it. Bring it to the prayer people will have up here during this last song. So for those of you who maybe don't know God or feel like he's not speaking to you, or you feel like he's never been there for you, like an absent father, you feel like he's never been there for you, he dipped out after you were born, after you were created, and you felt like God has been silent in your life this whole time. Get to know him. Before you cry out and get sad and angry that God is not there for you and he's never listened to you because he's just not there and you get angry at him, think about this. How can you be angry at a God that doesn't exist? How can you be angry at something that does not exist, that fundamentally does not make sense? Get to know him. Take the first step in that relationship and track him down. If you want to find something, it does no good to sit on your couch and wait for them to knock on the door for you. Sure, God can do that, but if you don't take that first step forward in searching for him, it's going to be a long road for you. Take that first step. Start seeking after him. Seek after him with that intimacy. And it will be so much easier for you because you're doing some of the work. And you're not making God do it all. The Bible also says, come all who are weary and I will give rest. If you feel like God has not been looking for you and you've been searching for him forever and ever, truly start to seek him with your heart, your innermost desires, and intimately seek him. And he will bring you that rest that you've been needing because you've been searching tirelessly for him. For those of you who have that thorn in your side, that wall that's keeping you from seeking after him and getting to him because there's a barrier there, tell him about the barrier. Let him break that barrier down. Let him cut the baggage off of you. Get more intimate with him, seeking after him, not what he says he'll give you. Seek after the relationship with him and let him love you so that relationship can start to grow and become something that is more than just a one-sided relationship where you're asking for gifts and he's not giving because you're not seeking him. And for those of you who feel like you're very strong, you have this firm foundation of faith, and God can just, you're waiting on God to call you somewhere. You're waiting on God to call you to ministry because you have everything you need. Your faith is set. You're senior year, Christian leadership major, you're done. Everything's ready for you to go. You just need God to call you. Or you're going on a global outreach trip. You're going on a missions trip. You're just waiting for God to speak to you and say, this is where you're going. You're going to Barcelona. You're going to Athens. But God hasn't said anything. I ask you guys this. Have you started to look inward? Not to yourself, if you're fine, sure. Have that pride, be fine. But have you looked into your own family? People in the military, when they go off, they are told to get their affairs in order before they go off to battle. So I ask you guys this, before you go off to battle the devil in some foreign country, have you looked into your own family? Have you looked into your own friendships? There is so much work to do. There is so much you have to get in order before God is going to send you. If you don't start looking inside of your own family, your own friendships, your own community, before you start looking outward, then you've missed the point. The gospel was not taken to Rome first. It was taken first to Jerusalem, then Judea, then all the ends of the earth. It started with the home. So you guys, start with your home. Love those who need your love first. Family is worth the fight, but if you're not willing to do the fight and you're just ready to run away and go move to Reno, go move to Alaska and just take your Bible, take your faith, and not share that gospel with those who raised you, who got you to where you are, no matter how much they did or how little they did, they got you to where you are. You could not be here without your family. If you're not willing to take it to those people, then you need to reevaluate and put your pride aside and take it to your family first, or God is going to be silent to you. Because if you can honestly look yourself in the mirror and say that your own brothers or sisters in your own family, your own friends that you went to school with, your own community, is better off without the gospel that God's given you to share, then you are the one who could possibly be condemning them to a lake of fire. If God has given you that opportunity, that is a burden you cannot run from. Romans 11:29 says that God's gifts and calling are irrevocable. You cannot let go of that calling. You need to man up and get to work. So those three challenges, I'll leave you with it while we enter into this last song. Get to know God if he's been silent in your life. Get to know God if you have something hindering your way to get to him, if there's a sin holding you back. And get to know God intimately, and then let your family be intimate with you so that nobody is left lacking the intimacy that only God can provide.